Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And away we go with the final hour of the show, the Rob Brown Show, to be specific, right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob, my man Ben, sitting in for the great one Lonzo today. Here in just mere moments from now, we will be joined by the hating ass one himself, hating ass Mario. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network going to join us on the show in just mere moments. We'll talk some NFL, perhaps. We will sneak in a little a little National Basketball Association. It's not as good in the Berman voice as the National Football League. We'll get Mario in here in just mere moments from now. In the meantime, got a bunch of other stuff that we are going to run to over the course of the show. Still looking up and down the schedule and scores from the college football and NFL weekend. We are going to ask Mario here in just a second. As somebody said earlier in the stream, either Carolina is better than we thought they were, the Chiefs aren't as good as we thought they were. My response, a little bit of both. Little bit of both. I think these two teams, neither one of them are getting the credit that they deserve one way or the other. I was listening to the talks this weekend. Oh, it's Kansas City. It's one of the best teams in the league. I mean, record-wise, they are for sure. Record-wise, they for sure are. By the way, we're going to get Mario in the next segment of the show. Push it back one segment. So we'll have Hating Ass Mario coming up in the next segment. I think Kansas City is maybe the least impressive 10-win, 1-loss team I've ever seen. Maybe the least impressive. There's nothing that blows me away about this team. If I'm keeping it a buck with you, I think they're fine, but I don't think they are the dominant team that they have been in years gone by. And maybe more that we need to talk about is the growth of this Panther team. I told you back in, and by the way, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast is going to join us tomorrow in the in his normal time slot. But I think this team, as I have been telling Rashad, as I've been telling Lonzo all year, Rashad bought it, Lonzo did not. I think this team is noticeably, in my opinion, noticeably getting better week by week. I think this is a team that when I look at it, I think you can see the strides forward. I think you can see the confidence level in Bryce Young growing. I think you can see the confidence level in Dave Canales as a play caller growing. I think you can see, heck, even amongst, and this is one of those spots, and I'll say this, and I mean this. I think if Carolina has a healthy defense, I think if Carolina has, you know, their best defender on the interior line available in Derrick Brown, I think if this team defensively doesn't have the litany of injuries that they have suffered this year, I think they win that game. I'm very serious. I think they win that game. I think if they find, and it may be Xavier Leggett may just be a career wide receiver. I think you saw the development of this offense with Leggett as primary and Adam Thielen out of a slot reserve role. I pointed it out already once during the show. Xavier Leggett had a catch down the sideline that he just dropped. There's no excuse. I am a big XL guy. I am the official Xavier Leggett translator for the upstate. I love Xavier Leggett.
That'll be great, man.
He's one of my favorite cats. But he's got to catch that ball. I have to have that catch. I'm not asking for perfection. But you got to have that catch. That catch gets made. Carolina's knocking on the door inside the red zone or very close to it. Instead, they have to punt the ball away, and Kansas City goes down the field for a I think they got a field goal off that drive, if I recall correctly. Doesn't matter. Point is, you took points off the board, but with that one catch. You took at least a field goal off the board with that one catch. You have a guy who is regularly hanging out at the top of the NFL in terms of field goal accuracy. And you at least left 3 points. That is anywhere from a 3 to a 10-point swing in that moment, just on that one catch. But those are the types of games that provide you with an opportunity. I like to steal the phrase teachable moments. Teachable moments. And I think that loss to Kansas City was full of them. I thought that the win over New Orleans had a lot of them. I thought the win over the New York Giants had a lot of them. But I certainly and specifically think this competitive L to the Kansas City Chiefs had more of them than both of those games. And I was not the only one. Here's Dave Canales.
No, the guys can just feel what's happening. We are becoming us. We're becoming a style of football that we want to pride ourselves on. You know, we took care of the football. Defensively, you know, we got after it, but they did a good job of keeping it, you know. And so I think that the guys can feel what we're trying to get done philosophically and to see we can count on these guys to step in and make their plays week in and week out. And when you can count on stuff, that's when confidence grows. That's when all that, when you start playing faster, you start playing more together, you know, and connected. And so, again, just mixed emotions in this locker room, but certainly a group that's ready to get back to work.
Mixed emotions in the locker room is what Dave Canales just said. And to be quite honest with you, I think that might be the most understandable thing he's ever said. Of course there were. Because if I would have told this team coming in that Kansas City's coming to your house, that the bank is going to be largely composed of Kansas City fans, quote unquote, because yes, the bandwagon is full. If I would have told the boys pregame, you're going to go out there and you're going to be in a 3-point contest with 2 minutes to play. 3-point contest, either way, up or down. You're going to be in a 3-point contest, either way, up or down, with 2 minutes to play. I think they would have lost their gosh darn minds in that moment. I think that the boys would have gotten up in that moment. I think they would have all taken the opportunity with 2 minutes left in the game to go out there and pull an upset over the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions. But you got to eat that L sometimes. Sometimes you got to take that punch in the mouth to find out exactly who the hell you are. And I think that's what happened to Carolina. And I think Dave Canales learned it. I think you are seeing week by week a football team that understands its identity. I've said this a couple of times. I don't think a lot of you understand just how bad the Matt Rhule era was, right? And again, I don't hold it against Matt Rhule, right? That's like it's like being mad at the shark for biting a surfer. Can you be mad at the shark? The shark is doing shark things, right? This is like being mad at those killer whales at SeaWorld when they take down a trainer. Like it's being mad at the killer whale. We call it a killer whale. You jumped into the big old tank with a thing that has killer in the name. It shouldn't be shocked when the killer angle of killer whale comes out. Same thing with Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was notably at the time the most notorious college football coaches of all time. Nah, I won't say of all time. One of the most notorious college football program coaches of time, at least that time. And so when you bring this guy up, you can't be all that shocked when college football coach does college football things. You know, like the OOU stuff, the one of us stuff. That's very much a college football thing. And he did college football things with an NFL team. The problem is NFL teams notoriously made up of NFL players, not college football players. So the OOU stuff, you shouldn't be shocked by it. But it does set your program back. Because not only do guys in the NFL not want to come into that type of environment and be treated as if they are college football players. But on top of that, and I think this is the part that a lot of fans don't think about, these guys aren't just recognizing that the organization had a college football coach who was acting like a dork in the locker room, and they don't want to play for that coach. They also look and they go, well, if the ownership allowed this guy to come in here and turn that locker room into a circus, do I really want to play for that owner? And then he went to Frank Reich. And Frank Reich, the legendary quarterback whisperer, not only is he going to go down as somebody who covered the team, I feel uniquely qualified to point this out. Not only is Frank Reich going to go down as one of the most boring head coaches in the history of the National Football League, the guy's press conferences were the cure for insomnia. Not only does he go down as one of the most boring head coaches in the history of the National Football League, but on top of that, I don't think there was anything about Frank Reich other than he played there in the 90s. I don't think there was anything about Frank Reich that like screamed Carolina Panthers, right? Like, yeah, he played there 30 years ago, plus 30 plus years ago. It's not the same team. It's not the same franchise. It's not the same owner. It's not the same anything, right? And so because of that, I think Frank Reich came in, and Frank Reich had this idea that he was going to take Bryce Young and he was going to turn this team into like a air raid offense. I think Frank Reich thought that he was Andy Reid. Well, if you genuinely go look at the way that Andy Reid calls a ball game, what you will notice is that Andy Reid doesn't say, hey, Pat, we're going to go have you throw it 40-11 times, right? Says, hey, if the run game's working, we're going to be a running team. And if the pass game is available, we're going to be a passing team. But we're going to adapt. This is why Kansas City's been so good for so long. We're going to adapt to whatever it is you think you're going to do to stop us. Frank Reich came in and was like, no, we're at least it felt like me, we're an aerial team now. We have Bryce Young. We're an aerial team now. except for you weren't. You weren't built that way. You didn't have the talent to play that way. You didn't have the resources or the assets or the personnel to play that way. And when you string those two head coaching failures back to back, like the Carolina Panthers did, it sets your program back even further. And so it's a recovery period. It's a recovery period because not just do you have to establish your identity, which I think they have to, it's that you have to erase the old identity as well. You know how I've been talking about Justin Fields in Pittsburgh the last couple of years? The last year? When Justin Fields made his way to Pittsburgh, I said, I think that guy has successful NFL quarterback talent. I think he can be a successful National Football League quarterback, but I think it is going to take some time for him to shake the Matt Eberflus funk off of him. I think it is going to take some time for him to get the toxicity of the Chicago Bear locker room off of him. And he came in when Russell Wilson got hurt and he won some games. There were none that were won because of Justin Fields. But at the NFL, I will take, if I don't have quarterback who can go win me the game, I will absolutely take quarterback who isn't going to go lose me the game. And Justin Fields did enough not lose you the game that I thought, okay, I was right. This guy is still going to take some time, but he's got it. Right? He's got it. He's that guy. That's how I feel about what the Carolina Panthers are. It is not just a matter of building up the Canales offense. It is not just about building up the Dave Canales Carolina Panther identity. It is about, before that, you have to deprogram not just Frank Reich, but you've got to deprogram 2 years of Matt Rhule and Frank Reich. You have got to deprogram that complete and utter disaster and lack of identity out of your franchise before the next guy can step in. For those of you that have played the dating game recently, what are the biggest red flags in the dating world? One of the biggest red flags you can experience is when you go out with somebody new and you're having a good time and you think all is going well, and then they start talking about their ex. Oh yeah, my boyfriend brought me here. My girlfriend used to do that for me. My ex-husband, my ex-wife, they used to blah, 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 blah. That's a red flag. And it's not a red flag because it's bad that they have those memories. They're human beings. Of course they do. It's a red flag because you are immediately being compared to someone else. You are immediately being told what the ex's standards were. You are immediately being told, this is how I like things, and I would like for those things to stay those things. That's a red flag. Get out of there while you still can. Right? That's kind of the thing here. I don't need you worrying about the identity of coaches past. I need you dialed in on what Canales is going to do. But in order to get there, you got to give time for them to get over the X. You got to give time for them to stop remembering that sexy little black dress the ex-girlfriend used to wear and see you for what you wear. You got to give time for that guy to stop thinking about what the lady friend did during adult recreational time, so he can start appreciate the things that you're willing to do. You've got to let them move on from the ex before you can turn them into the partner you need them to be. That's where the Panthers are. And I think the Panthers are starting to forget about their ex a little bit. When we come back, Hayden asked Mario. Mario Heron for the BetQL Network going to join us. We'll check in, get his thoughts on Chiefs Panthers, some of the other big storylines around the National Football League. And can Saquon Barkley win the MVP? Yes, he can, but we'll see if Mario agrees when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, my man Ben, filling in for Lonzo. Out on a scheduled vacation. Everybody can relax. Lonzo didn't go too ham over the weekend. He was already scheduled to be off. Mario ordinarily joins us on Thursdays at 9 to talk NFL and NBA action, as he is not only the executive producer for BetMGM Tonight, which airs every weekday right here on this and find Odyssey stations worldwide, but he is also an NBA and NFL betting analyst for the BetQL Network. Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, joining us on the show. What's up, fella? Sleeves. Yeah. Why do you not have them on?
Because it's feast week, and, you know, the leading up to Thanksgiving, it's all about the gains, all right? It's all about, like, getting it in. So in order to get it in, yeah, I go sleeveless. It's bear weather. Feel the cold, all right? I walk out sleeveless. I just put Vaseline on the arms, and I get it going. That's
okay,
what you
okay.
Do.
Okay, Ultimate Warrior. Now tell everybody really why you're wearing a sleeveless tee on the show.
Haven't done laundry in about 2 weeks.
There it is.
I have to pack for Thanksgiving and then a bachelor party and a wedding. So a lot of stuff to pack for right now.
We're living a
on the edge type of life right now.
There it is. All right, let's get into it, dude. Mainly because I don't want to sit here and make jokes about your arms for the next 10 minutes.
I set a record today. PR, come on now.
You set a record for what? Getting up early on a Monday?
No, okay, first off, it's always a 6 a.m. wake-up call on Monday, so. Well, we set a little PR in the gym today. Come on now.
Yeah. Get those 10-pound dumbbells up today.
Try 60.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Naz Mario joining us here on the show. let's dive in and start. Hate and ass one with the game we were talking about in the last segment, Carolina at Kansas City. On the spectrum of maybe Carolina's turning a corner and is a little bit better than people were giving them credit for on one end. And on the other end is Kansas City's the worst 10-1 team we've ever watched play football. Where's the slider?
I think it's Carolina's better than we all thought they were. I think this is maybe one of the only times in history where, like, benching actually really worked, right? Like, this really worked for Bryce Young. He's came back, and, you know, he beats the Saints, sets him up on a game-winning touchdown by Chuba Hubbard, and you say, oh, he threw a pick. If you watch that pick, that's Leggett's fault. That was a beautiful ball. Leggett fights for that ball. There's no pick in that game. Then against the Giants, he puts on another great show. Beats them. I know not a great team, but still, for a guy that probably lost his confidence, pretty big. And then he goes up against the reigning, defending, back-to-back Super Bowl champs, and he throws for a 263, 21 for 35, and he even adds a touchdown in there. I think this Carolina team's pretty talented. I think Bryce Young has looked exceptionally better, has played very, very well, and I think he's earned another year in Carolina. I think he's earned another, you know, couple starts this year. I think he's kind of showing that, hey, there's still something in me. There's still something special here. On the flip side of that, if you look at the Chiefs, I saw the stat today. 8 games decided by, you know, field goal, last second touchdown. The other teams that did that was last year's Eagles, and boy, did they just poop the freaking bed in the playoffs. And then before that was the Vikings, right? When we really didn't know if the Vikings were for real. And then Justin Jefferson had, like, the most unreal game of all time against the Buffalo Bills. And we're like, okay, maybe there's something there. I don't know if the Chiefs are, like, fraudulent. I think the Chiefs are just dancing with the devil, and at some point that dance goes bad on you. And that could happen to them in the next coming weeks. I mean, they still have to face the Chargers, which is always going to be a tough game. They still have to face the Broncos last week of the season, and that's going to be a do-or-die season for the Broncos. They start to go up against the Steelers, and then we hit playoff time. Like, the, you know, a lot of teams look pretty damn good right now. Maybe it's the year that the Chiefs kind of come down from heaven.
Yeah, I want to agree, and obviously the playoffs are a different breed of cat than the regular season. But like, Kansas City keeps playing with fire, and it's not like they've got the most brutal schedule in the NFL. They did beat the Ravens full tutty. They had a 1-point win over the Bengals. They had a 5-point win over Atlanta. They escaped the Chargers by a touchdown. They did beat the Saints by 13. They beat the 49ers by 10. They escaped
Bucks took them to OT.
Yep, Bucks took them to OT. They escaped the Raiders by a tutty. They beat the Broncos by 2. They lose to Josh Allen. And then they've got to have Mahomes magic inside of the last 2 minutes to kick a game winner against the Carolina Panthers. And this was not even like, oh, you had to go on the road to Charlotte. Like, it was a Chiefs friendly crowd. I just feel like eventually that last minute magic runs out. Like, it just, the law of averages says at some point one of these last 2 minutes games is going to go the opposite way. The question is, where in the playoffs does it happen, if it happens? I mean, they're obviously winning this division. They're obviously going in. I don't know that it's obvious they're going in as the one seed, because I don't know how that's going to shape up between they and Buffalo right now. But like, it just feels to me like the last couple of years they did this same thing. They played in all these close, exciting games, but there was all this confidence in every one of these games. Like, okay, here come the Chiefs. Yeah, they're 10-1. Yeah, they've done it a lot of times, but I don't have that same like unquestioned, unchecked beliefs that, well, if the Chiefs are within 7 at the end of the game, it's they're going to win this thing. Like, there's another L coming. I just don't know to who or where.
I agree with that. I think, you know, if the playoffs shake out as it is right now, like, let's say they get the one seed, right? Like, let's just say they get that. And then the Chargers stay at 5 and then the Texans stay at 4. Let's just being completely honest here. That's like a pretty friendly playoff structure, though, for them, right? To get the AFC championship. Like, the Texans have showed us that they are very fraudulent, that they are not a for real contender, not a for real football team. I mean, first, they go up against Detroit, get this big lead on Detroit, and then they just absolutely fall apart in the second half. CJ Stroud's having a sophomore year slump. They lose to the Titans yesterday. Yes, it's a divisional game. I understand those are always close, but you're the better team. Close it out. And they just didn't do that. And their O-line's very fraudulent. At one point, they're the most penalized team in the NFL. They're, you know, they're not for real. Let's say they face them that second round. That I think that can really go in their favor in winning. You get Chargers the third time. Well, let's say they, you know, Chargers beat them second time. That goes pretty handy for them to win again. Now, if they beat the Chargers 2 times in a row, I would bet the Chargers with everything that they beat them in the playoffs, because I just think, you know, again, water finds its level. I just feel really confident saying right now, and I might eat my words, I feel confident saying the Chiefs will not be in the Super Bowl. Like, I feel pretty fine in saying that. There's too many teams in the AFC that I think could really take advantage of them. And I think second time around, either beat them worse, like the Buffalo Bills, or that the Ravens can kind of clip them in the second time going.
Talk to me about Houston. They're fraudulent. Yeah. They're not in, yada, yada. I'm not going to fight you on the take, but they have had some injuries. Obviously, Stephon Diggs going down. Granted, Diggs wasn't a Texan last year, and they went on a bit of a run. They've missed Nico for a couple of games, Woods for a couple of games. Like, this is a team that's had some injury concerns. Are you're ready to write off the Houston Texans as a long shot?
Yeah, I'm fully ready to write them off. John McClain, who's been covering the NFL for like over 40 years and covers the Texans now, he told us like all the way back in September, he's like, hey, do not believe in this team. This team's too young. They're too inexperienced. The up front, he goes, it's just they're not there at all, and they're kind of a nightmare. He goes, and mentally, they're not prepared for the role that they're in. Dan Campbell put it great last year with the Lions when they lost in the NFC Championship. It's going to be different because you were hunting last year. Now you become the hunted. Similar to the Texans, right? Last year they were hunting. They were the surprise. Now they're the hunted. And if we're being honest, like, it hasn't gone great with them in that manner. Who have they beaten that's like a really big win? They get smoked by the Vikings 34-7. You caught the Bills earlier in the season 23-20, but they were up 17-3 at half. And the Bills almost won that game still. Packers beat you 24-22. The Jets, who are the biggest disaster in the world, beat you 23-13. I don't know where there was a spot where I was like, yeah, I feel really confident in the Texans and where they're going. It's just not there for me. I think just of the other teams in there, I would feel a lot more comfortable and trusting. Like, I would trust the Bills. I would trust the Ravens. Maybe even the Chargers just with Harbaugh over the Texans.
I'm not gonna push back on the take at all. I do have question marks. I do not any longer have question marks about the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not ready to say that Nick Sirianni will get his edible arrangements at the same time that Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton do for the Rob Brown apology tour for the hot takes I was wrong with at the end of the year. Here, Hayton asked Mario. What I will say is the Eagles are 9-2. The Eagles are right there, I would say, in the back pocket of the Detroit Lions as far as best team in the NFC. And I think it's all Saquon Barkley. This dude, Mario, if he is not one of the top two in the MVP discussion, something's wrong with that award.
I agree. And right now he is third, but I'll say this: bye week and not playing on Sunday can hurt you a little bit, right? So like the two guys ahead of him, Josh Allen and Lamar, Bills on bye. So we didn't get to see Josh Allen and all of his heroics today. I mean, not today, yesterday. So that hurts, right? Because then Barkley becomes a topic of discussion because of his amazing game. Lamar plays tonight against the Chargers, against a really, really tough defense. And let's say like he has himself a day and he wins on primetime. I guarantee you that number that's at plus 220 is going to go down even more because of, you know, the spotlight that came with it. On the flip side of that, let's say Herbert. You saw him beat the Bengals last week. What if he leads a game-winning drive against the Ravens? What if he has three touchdowns? What if he throws for 250? You know, that number's going to come shorter. And then there's going to be a conversation about that because then they have the Falcons and the Chiefs after that. Let's say he beats both Falcons and the Chiefs. Where does he stand? Oh, he moves up. And remember, this is a quarterback award. MVP, yes, should Barkley be in the discussion? Yes, but I think he's kind of still very, very far away from being a serious upon serious contender just because I think this is Josh Allen's award to lose, and this is like kind of like their year, and I don't think people are going to forget that. And it's really hard to overcome all the guys that kind of stand in Barkley's way to get that award. Now, offensive player of the year, I think Barkley should handle that. And it was Derrick Henry before. Now Barkley's minus 300, which is crazy. But I think he has that locked up. MVP, it's going to Allen or it's going to Lamar. Maybe Goff, but Goff's got every weapon you could ever want in the world. So I think he kind of is out of that too.
I think Jared Goff, we talked about that game a minute ago, and you got to give Detroit credit because if you play in a game where you throw five picks and you still win the game, there's some flowers that got to go there, not to the guy who threw the picks, but to everybody else. And we're talking about Houston. Like, that was kind of the opposite side of that coin is if you get five interceptions in a game and you lose that game, I got a real problem. But I would also agree with what you said, which is Detroit has built an absolute stable full of dogs on that offense, whereas Josh Allen played the first 6 weeks of the season with no wide receivers, right? Like,
yeah.
I love Keon Coleman, and I'm so happy to see this cat developing into a genuinely talented wide receiver. But that was a rook in week one, and Josh Allen was out there working with him and nobody better outside of the tight end combination in Buffalo. I usually push back on the MVP goes to a quarterback every year, but we've built the league around the quarterbacks being the most important people on the field. And Josh Allen, I think, did more with less than anybody in the last handful of years. So I don't have a problem with Josh Allen, But if it ain't Josh Allen, it's got to be Saquon, because I don't think Jalen Hurts is as good as he looks without Saquon. I think Saquon covers up a lot of holes around that offensive line. I think he opens up the pass game. And if I got a guy who can go for 255 in a Sunday night primetime game that the line was only plus or minus five, and I'm getting 255 and three touchdowns out of that cat, I don't know how that – and he's doing it every week. This is like a one-off thing. Like, he's good for a $125 every week.
I agree, but I think also if you really like Saquon to win MVP, like, you really think that's going to happen, I think they also have to get the one seed. I think it'd be very, very hard to make that argument if they don't get that. Because there's some stat out there where it's like how related the one seed in either division is or each conference is to MVP. So if they don't get the one seed, then I think he has no chance to get it. So I would just keep an eye out on that with Barkley and just Eagles as a whole. Plus, like you said, I think if Allen had like Diggs still and like Gabe Davis still, a fully healthy tight end room, then I think Barkley would have more of an argument. But like you said, like the low weapons, the having to do this, not all by himself, but throw a lot of guys open changes a lot of things.
I don't have an issue with that. I think that's a fine argument. I'm not going to push back. Eagles, by the way, on the road at the Ravens, back home for the Panthers, back home for the Steelers, at the Commanders, back home for the Cowboys and the Giants to wrap it up. So let's talk about a couple of teams on that list, and we will start, Mario, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that I think a lot of us jumped on board with. A lot of us were like, oh, okay, this team is for real. And then they go take an L to the Browns. Now, you know how I feel. Dome every stadium. No game should ever be played in the snow. It's the stupidest thing in the NFL. But also, you got to win that game. You're playing in the same snow that Cleveland is. We writing off the Steelers after that, or was that just a hiccup?
There's nothing better than a snow game. There's nothing.
Yeah, there
better.
Is. Every I mean, other kind of game.
I saw the snow, and I got excited. And I cried a happy tear.
Why? Why?
Because it's football. It's played outside.
So when it's 72 and Sunday, you look and you go, this ain't football.
No, I think you play with what Mother Nature gives you. How about that?
Okay, well then undome every other stadium.
Okay, fine. I'm fine with that.
No, I'm not. That's stupid, and I hate it. It's stupid, and I hate it.
Have you ever been to a snow game? Have you ever been to a snow game?
No, because I am not a moron.
No, because they are so fun to go to. They're the most fun ever to go to. I've gone to three in Chicago, and I can say it was 10 times better than going to one on a sunny 72-degree day. I promise you that. It was a lot of fun. That being said, I think that Steelers-Browns game was just a classic trap divisional rival game where they were just never going to win that. That was a classic Mike Tomlin, hey, I'm going to, crap the bed in this one, and the Browns are going to get me. And I think that's literally what happened there. I'm not writing them off because, look, they're still a very, very good team. They're still fourth in points allowed. They're still 14th in points per game. They're still eighth in rushing offense, their second turnover differential. Like, this is still a really solid football team led by a Hall of Fame coach and with an experienced QB that in right circumstances can look pretty strong. I still want to bet against them on any day of the week, and I still would not doubt them because they are a nightmare to face. T.J. Watt gives me nightmares, even his Christmas commercials that are the most cringiest. Can we have a conversation really quickly? The Watt brothers, you're not born to be entertaining. Like, they are not entertaining. They're just really big guys that were good at football. Entertainment's not for them. Jason Kelce, entertainment's for him. He's entertaining. The Watt brothers, don't try to be funny. That's not your ballpark. You're not funny. You're not entertaining. You're just a weird white guy that's really big. And that's okay. And that's fine.
But I do want to point out, Tej on the McAfee show's not bad, but that's more about Pat and Connor and the boys than it is Tej.
Yes. Yeah, they're setting him up. Like, him in a Raw thing, it's just, I'm all set. Like, let's,
right, it's like when I bring you on. You're entertaining during this part of your career.
Okay. that one cut deep a little bit. I ain't gonna lie to you.
All right, let me ask you about one more before we turn you loose, Mario, and that's the Washington Commanders, three straight L's to the Steelers, Eagles, and now the lowly Cowboys. They were 10.5-point favorites, and they lost outright. I think Jaden Daniels is banged up. I think that rib injury is worse than the Commanders ever let on, because he really didn't uncork anything until that Terry McLaurin touchdown at the end of the game that tied it up. They still should have won that game, but are the Commanders cooked?
Well, I found it's level with them. I think that's the biggest thing. Yesterday was weird because it was like the ultimate get right spot, right? Because you face the Steelers, you know, obviously it's a brutal opponent. You face the Eagles, you barely lose that one, and that was a tough game for you. The Cowboys are like, all right, this team's not playing for anything. Their head coaches are stupid. They're on a backup QB. You know, the defense is not the defense of last year. Dan Quinn's very familiar with the team. Everything screamed out to you. Bet Commanders, bet Washington. And then they just fall apart. And I do agree with you, right? I think this team is falling apart, and it's due to Jaden Daniels is not as healthy, right? He's just not. And I think this team is losing its energy. It's losing its edge. And remember, this team is an older team, right? Like, Austin Eckler got hit yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that. I legitimately thought he was dead for like 2 seconds. And like, it's just because these guys are a lot older. They're not really built anymore for this long ass season as it is. It's going to be a tough. Cliff Kingsbury in the second half of the season, for some reason, he just bots out. I don't know if it's because he just runs out of ideas and has no idea what to do anymore. Water's fine its level for him. They're not believing them. And I'm just going to say this too. I don't want anyone to crap on Jaden Daniels, but they should notice that as Jaden Daniels is struggling, Caleb Williams is also playing really well. Just going to throw that out there. Caleb
Williams playing
really, really well.
I'm still, for the record, I still got my ticket on Jaden Daniels Rookie of the Year, and I'm not walking off of that. Let that man, just give him a week off and let him get right. All right, Hayden asked Mario.
Bo Nix might have something to say about that, though. Bo Nix could also.
Bo Nix got good in week 12. Maybe let's pump the brakes just a bit. I'm impressed, for the record. Like I said last week. Sean Payton and Bo Nix catching an apology letter from Rob Brown. I'm not going to say wrong. I am going to say it took till week 13. Jaden Daniels was out there cooking dudes in week one. Like, let's pump the brakes. Let's see where we end up in week 18. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. You can hear him every weekday night from 7 to 11 on the BetQL Network. Executive producer of BetMGM Tonight. And joins us usually on Thursdays, but I'm not working Thursday. I'll be getting fatter. Mario, appreciate you, big dog. Thanks for coming by on a short notice, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Ben, pleasure to meet you, man. It's always a pleasure. If you want, Ben, I can add you to the Ben Pia group chat. My first name is Ben. It's about 35 Bens all put together. And every morning, we text in, good morning, Ben.
Do it. We got to take over the world one Ben at a time.
One Ben? That just fired me up, man. I'm going to have a great week. Let's go. Thanks, Rob.
Can I go to break now? Is that okay with you two? Is that cool? Can I go to break now?
Let's do it.
Goodbye, Mario.
Goodbye.
The Rob Brown Show back after this on the Fan Upstate.
Throw him, put him back. Sweet.
Cool. Thank you, big dog. Good stuff, man.
Sure.
Hang on. Turn the key volume up.
Whoops.
Sorry,
yep. I can't hear. Oops. Got him.
All right, say that again.
Why is it?
Hang on. Oh, because you're. Rob Brown Show, wrapping it up here on a Monday, 4 hours just flying by, as they do every Monday from 6 till 10 and every weekday from 6 to 10 a.m. right here on the Fan Upstate. Let me tell you one more time before we get up out of here for the day. Here is what I would like from you, the people, as I am indeed a man of the people. The Ray Memorial Hotline this week is going to be a little different. It is the Ray Memorial Hotline this week, but it is so much more. Because it is Rivalry Week. Here, my dear friends, is what I am looking for. What I am looking for is for you guys to take the Ray Memorial Hotline. What's the Ray Memorial Hotline, Rob? I'm glad you asked, hypothetical listener, that I made up for this exact situation. The Ray Memorial Hotline, if you go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and you open up your Odyssey app on your digital device, and you go to the Fan Upstates page, I want you to do a couple of things. Number one, I want you to click the little heart icon. When you do, that will make it one of the stations that shows up in your default list every time that you open the Odyssey app. Open that Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate, click the heart icon. Number two, go to the Fan Upstate page. In the middle of the page, there are two buttons. Button number one says listen live. You push that button, you can listen live 24/7, 365, anytime, day or night, weekday, weekend, doesn't matter. Click that button, listen live, listen to the station all the time. Our shows, local shows, our syndicated Infinity Sports Network shows, whatever you want. Number three, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the Odyssey app. I want you to go to the Fan Upstate page, and in the middle of the page next to the Listen Live button is a little circular button with a microphone in it. I want you to click that little circular microphone button and leave a 60-second voice message that comes directly to the great one and I. But see, ordinarily, the Ray Memorial Hotline, I would ask you for your astute sports analysis. I would say, hey, tell me how Clemson can beat South Carolina. Tell me how the Gamecocks can walk in to Death Valley and get a dub. That's not what I want this week. No, no, friends. It is rivalry week. So what I want you to do is take it from the Ray Memorial Hotline and turn it into the Ray Memorial Talk Hotline. All right? Wide open, open game. I want you to tell me why the bad guys suck. I want you to tell me why their quarterback's overrated, their head coach is a clown, their stadium is a tool shed, whatever it is you want to say, because I want to make it part of the show. I would like, over the next 2 days of sports broadcasting, to begin and end every single segment with one of you guys telling the other half of you guys how much those guys suck. All right? So go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. I want you to click the Listen Live button, check in on the station, but I want you to click the little circle microphone button and leave me a 30 to 60 second voice note on the Ray Memorial Talk Hotline. It is wide open and will be all week. You leave me a voice note that is openly talking to the other team and make me laugh, and I will absolutely play it on the air over the next few days. So go to the Odyssey app, all your digital devices, go to the Fan Upstate page, click the little circle microphone, leave your best talk, and let's have some fun with it. That's it for us. That's it for the show. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't go anywhere. Because coming up next, we got Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You, then Jim Rome takes you into the jungle, 3 to 7 p.m. Cole Bryson and the D-Train Diesel take you wire to wire from 3 to 7, and then we will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Have a fantastic day. Don't drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. Join us back here tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m., to do it all over again, but better, on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. Later!
You're a winner, man. You're the real deal. You're picking up chicks.